And now I have the pleasure of bringing on Paul Saban and Camille Saban. They're the father-daughter co-founders of Paul J. Wines. How are you two doing today?
We're good. Thank
you're
you.
You're doing good,
having
Paul?
A,
how you
having
doing?
A great day.
Okay, so father-daughter combo wine. It sounds like a fun opportunity. Whose idea was this?
Well, you know, my family's been in the wine business since 1977, and I live, and Camille was raised at the house we live in now, where at least I live, and she, we built a, I always wanted to have a winery tasting room there. It's the main drag of the Shenandoah Valley. Everybody's driving by. It probably first came into my mind 15, 18 years ago, and about 2 years ago, it was like, okay, let's do this.
So family, Camille, growing up in the wine business, you grew up with wine, right? So talk to us
about
when did you develop your love for wine?
So, you know, to be honest, I remember trying it, like, as a kid or as a teenager, but I think, like most people, you don't really get your taste for wine or beer until, I mean, I should.
I might have got mine earlier than
average.
I'm not going to lie here.
But I remember tasting it, but it wasn't until my probably early 20s that I was like, okay, I really feel like I'm getting a palate, and I'm really, like, I can tell the difference in wine. But I think, like, everybody, kind of your palate develops the more you drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thinking about that, so your grandparents were in the wine business or that started off, and your dad's in the wine business. Now it's the father-daughter duo. I mean, whose idea was it for you two to partner up?
You know what? I remember my dad talking about this idea of having a tasting room at the house since I was 15, 14. And once I really, you know, went to college and started to really enjoy wine, then I was like, wow, this could be really cool. Our location's awesome.
Yeah. You know, Paul, where are you guys located? Talk to us.
So right in the middle of the Shenandoah Valley, which is outside of Plymouth. We're about 3 miles from Plymouth. And there's about 35 wineries in the Shenandoah Valley. And we are on the main drag. So it was sort of inevitable that we would eventually do this. And, you know, I think back to your question to Camille, I mean, we definitely had a conversation before I started pulling permits or designing a building. It's like, are you in? Because I already have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already have 3 full-time jobs. So this is Camille's sort of business. It's not that she's running it completely because I have a huge impact also and an input in what we do. But it was her sort of commitment to say, yeah, I'm ready to do this. She had been working for my family's business for 5 years before that. So she already knew wine. She's got a great presence with people and her customer service is amazing. And so it was sort of getting the commitment. It's like, all right. And as soon as I got the commitment the next morning, I'm designing a building and hiring a contractor and starting to get a backhoe out there.
Okay.
I don't mess around. Just go.
Okay. So what's it like working with your daughter though? Obviously it sounds like she's doing all the work. What do you do around there?
Well, I
design buildings.
And there you go. So it's basically that my house has always been, you know, the party house for everybody out there. And people accuse me of building a tasting room so you can bring the party a little closer. Not really the intent. I am the winemaker. So I'm still, even though I'm the winemaker for my family's wines also for Saban Estate and Shenandoah Vineyards, these are completely different wines, completely different, maybe not different varieties, but different vineyards, different blends, different oak. For instance, our most popular wine is a Chardonnay that's from the Central Coast and from Clarksburg. And I buy that wine from a friend who makes it for me, and then I finish it at the winery. So I'm doing the actual winemaking, and I would guess within 5 to 7, 10 years from now, I will turn that over to someone else, whether it's Camille or someone else. So,
well, how's your wine different? To describe your wine to say the novice wine drinker, where does your wine fit into the market?
So we are at this point a tasting room only winery, right? So you're only going to be able to buy our wines in the tasting room. So we don't have to go to Raley's and say, hey, this is the type of Cabernet that sells at Raley's, or this is the type of Cabernet that sells at a steakhouse. We can do a Tannat, which is a variety of Petit Sirah, exactly the way we want to do it. Bigger, darker, maybe a little more tannins, a little bit more aggressive use of oak. People always say, I don't like oak in my wine, but the most popular wines that we make are the oakiest wines that we make.
Hmm.
So I get to do the styles that I want. We have a rosé that's out here, the new Vermentino. These are things that Camille was like, hey, Dad, we should have these wines. We have people coming to the tasting room looking for wines like this. I'll have a Napa Cabernet in the next year. So we're doing all kinds of things, small lot, small production. Mm-hmm. We get to do whatever we want.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of an experience to walk into the tasting room and try the different wines. You know, walk us through what it feels like. I'm going up there, taking you know, a car ride up there to do some wine tasting. Walk me through the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really pride ourselves on having a really fun, comfortable space. Not just great wine, but great customer service. You know, you're always going to get greeted friendly, smile, hi as you come in, which really means a lot to people. You know, have a great space, not just great wine. So, of course, you know, we'll get you set up, go through your tasting with you. Mm-hmm. But we also have a great space. For example, we have a putting green with 9 holes.
Oh, nice.
At our tasting room outside near the picnic area. We have a bocce ball court, cornhole. We sell wine by the glass. So we really created a space for people to hang out and, you know, bring a picnic, bring friends.
Wow. Sounds fun.
It's very fun.
Okay, so I have to imagine you're the one that we're going to see when we go up there. Is that right? We're going to see you. And then what's the team look like? Is it a lot of younger people like yourselves or is it old guys like your dad?
Well, you know what? It's really a great variety, but probably one of my favorite things is everybody we hired to work in the tasting room, we have some sort of prior connection with. So whether it being family, friends, friends I went to high school with, new friends in the last couple years. My boyfriend works there. He's our assistant manager, techie. He also works over in the cellar. So, mm-hmm. you know, when he's there, which is pretty often as well, people love talking to him about more of the winemaking side of it too. Then, okay. of course, when my dad's in the tasting room, which isn't too often, it's kind of like a celebrity appearance when he's over in the tasting room. People love that, you know, the hearing more about the actual like science to it.
Well, my daughter and I have a real estate company. We've got different offices. She does all the work. I'm not even a celebrity appearance. I can't even say that. But I'm one, and we get along great because I just stay out of the way. But you, it sounds like your dad's a little bit more integrated into the business. I mean, what's it like working with your dad? I mean, you're not that. You're a young person, you're a millennial, I assume, and right, you don't need your parents around all the time, do you?
No, I mean, we really have it figured out in there. Of course, you know, like questions or getting approval for events, but most of the time my dad's just like, yeah, sounds like a good idea. Yeah. You guys know what you're doing. Yeah.
You grew up in the business.
Yeah,
kind of,
exactly.
Right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So. Okay. Let's talk about the vision, right? So you're, you know, a young person, any ridiculously big dream, what does it look like when, you know, as this thing matures?
You know, I just feel like keep doing what we're doing, just giving customers a great experience. We haven't even been open a year yet and we have a pretty large wine club, which is very exciting because usually, you know, that takes a lot of time to build, but we just have repeat after repeat customer and it just, you know, it just feels really good. We're definitely doing all the right things.
That's great. How important is a wine club? I mean, you know, my wife is a member of different wine clubs. Now that she knows you guys have the winery, I'm sure she'll probably be joining another one. But like, how important is the wine club? Because I have to imagine from a business standpoint, the recurring revenue is just, you know,
it's huge.
Great, yeah.
It's huge. I mean, we as Camille talked about creating an impression, you know, the wine club is super important, and it gives us a chance to build on this wine club. Our wine club's a certain number, but I can envision us doubling that within a year for sure, just because we're going to start offering different levels of this wine club, different descriptions on certain wines that you can only get into that club of 200 people if you are willing to spend a lot more money on things like Napa Cab or Russian River Pinot or things that we have the capacity to make and to do really an amazing job at. And, you know, the impression that Camille talked about the building is that this building was designed in my brain 15 years ago. And it, as you drive in, it's all, everything's repurposed. I have a friend with a lumber mill up there. It's salvaged lumber, whether it's beetle kill from the High Sierras. So the ceiling has this beautiful blue-gray pine. All the beam work is all solid cedar. Wow. Outside, huge porches. The tasting bar is faced kind of wainscoted with old corrugated. The whole building is wainscoted with corrugated off of an old barn. I've built.
Are you guys open tonight? I mean,
oh my God. So it's
I feel like you're driving up there.
It's such
it's
a cool.
It's only, what, about from Rockland? What is it, about an hour?
Hour and
10 minutes?
Hour
yeah.
and 15 minutes.
It's not that far. It's a nice little drive.
Right. And there's just all kinds of really cool features that people will walk in and you're selling your story, right? So it, when you're selling your story of why we did all this, why this is this way, why does it look like that? What's that railroad rail doing there as a footrest? It says Carnegie 1899 on it. And so these are things that I salvage from junkyards and these downspouts with these huge wagon wheel, I mean, giant pulley wheels out of the local Kennedy mine. So there's just all kinds. It's not a bunch of trashy stuff, but it's kind of more restoration hardware meets cool old barn. So that's the kind of look we're after. So we're trying to create that sort of look. And the wine club, the repeat customers, it's huge. How many times do we have people bringing in five of their friends? Or their family, and they're all people that spend money. They're not people that are out just for a $5, see how fast I can taste and move on.
And so. You live near there, Camille, right? Or do you live there?
I grew up there, but I live in Jackson now, which
is
20
right
minutes
down the
away.
Road. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah. Thinking about advice to entrepreneurs, right? So we have people. What would you advise other people about starting a business and even starting a business with your dad or, you know, somebody who's so close? I mean, you've got your boyfriend working there. I have to imagine there's kind of like pros and cons of that. Thoughts?
You know what? Honestly, I can say that everything's really been a pro. I mean, when you really start something with people that you know and trust and already have a relationship with, it just is that much better because just the success and we're all feeling it. We're all working hard and it's just getting better and better as we approach almost a year in April.
Paul, you said that Camille was sort of spoiled, but not spoiled rotten. What did you mean by that? Because obviously, you know, she's a beautiful girl. She's a go-getter. Not what you think of in terms of millennial spoiled, right? She's a go-getter.
Well, the first thing that, you know, you teach a teenager is how to work, right? So whether it's working with her horse when she was 8 years old, she went to a certain trainer that was like, I'm not going to put you on the horse. I'm not going to put the saddle on. You need to figure this stuff out. So that's sort of do for yourself, right? And those, a lot of the opportunities that she's beginning, right, that's when she says, well, you figure it out, Camille. You know what's best. You know, yeah, that date works for me. I can be around or, you know, I'm not going to be around. So you make it happen that date. And I think that sort of us making the commitment 2.5 years ago to do this was just following a dream that we had, didn't have to go borrow money from anybody, just had enough just to build this slowly over the course of a year. And by the time we opened, yeah, I had cashed every bank account, everything I had out, and now it's time to rebuild these things, which is very possible when you do the math on a business like this. So it's really been great, and it's just great to have a partner in this business that's got her own vision on how things ought to be and different ideas. I mean, I don't know everything, and I don't want to be involved every day in this business. Yeah. I live on the property when I'm there, so I'm very physically close, and I can always check on and see what's going on. But it's just a blast to think about all these creative ways you can still go. We're just starting. Oh my God,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we always ask the question, you know, advice to the next person in line. Just thoughts about other people out there that want to chase their dream. This does sound like a dream. It sounds fun. Just any words of wisdom as you think about who might be listening, the people in the entrepreneurial community.
Yeah, just work hard and keep your head up and, you know, just every day is a new day to have a new idea or, you know, just make it better.
Yeah. Dad?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I think it's follow that dream. And if you've got a passion for something, when you're selling, if you have no passion for what you're selling, why are you there? We buy from people that we like, and we buy from people that really believe in their own product. And if you're creating something in a very artistic, very sort of chemistry and art and everything goes involved with winemaking. From when people ask me about what I do, I have the best job in the world. I live the dream every day because I get to spend time on my mountain bike checking 250 acres of vineyard, and I can be out there 3 to 4 days a week for an hour and a half. You know, I get exercise. I'm out there doing what I love. And I think when you do what you love, it's contagious, right? And that's easy. So, and I think Camille is the same way. She's doing what she loves. And you don't ever walk into the tasting room and see Camille without a smile. Mm-hmm. She's doing what she loves, and I'm doing what I love.
Work hard, do what you love, living the dream. Paul Saban, Camille Saban, the father-daughter, co-founders of Paul J. Wines. Thanks for sharing your story.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sweat it out.